Hello, everyone, and welcome to the best and worst of Walt Disney World. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined this week by my good friends, Mr. Charles Boda.
Heyo.
Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Mr. Steve Porter.
Hello.
And back in the production nook, our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Hiya.
And we are continuing our Sucks, Doesn't Suck tour of the Magic Kingdom this week. And this week we're going to focus on Liberty Square. What are you doing back there?
I meant to hit your lower third.
You're just screwing up like right. And I'm not even centered. That camera isn't centered right. God, good help is so hard to find. So if you're not familiar with how this works, everybody is outfitted with two paddles. One that says suck, one that says doesn't suck. They do not know what I'm going to throw out as a potential topic. And they have just a matter of seconds when I do throw out a name or a word to hold up a paddle and then explain why they think that thing sucks or doesn't suck. Really kind of simple. If you can't follow along, you have problems I can't help you with. Okay, anyway, let's go ahead and talk about Liberty Square. Let's start with an easy one, like we always do. Haunted Mansion. Nobody at this table would dare holds up a sucks battle because I would beat them with it. Charles, why doesn't it suck?
It has a great story from start to finish throughout the attraction. It's just really fun. It's visually appealing. They use a lot of creative tricks that stand up to the test of time. It's got a mixture of like animatronics, but also cool, unique effects that are very, very singular to that attraction. The queue, the lead up is great. The stretching room beforehand is great. It's just one awesome live through storyline experience. And I mean, honestly, if you love Disney but didn't love this attraction, I would actually love to hear about it because I couldn't understand it. This is so, it's not just that it's iconic, it's that it holds up to frequent ride throughs. I have never turned down an opportunity, regardless of how busy we may be, to ride the Haunted Mansion.
I don't know that I have been. Well, first of all, the Haunted Mansion arguably is my all-time favorite attraction. My office here in my home is completely decked out with Haunted Mansion stuff. It's just all Haunted Mansion. I don't think I've ever, at least not in recent memory, walked into the Magic Kingdom and not gone on.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, whether that's here or in Disneyland, it's like a must do for me. I have to do Haunted Mansion. And you're talking about the use of technology. It's especially in that ballroom scene. It's a trick called Pepper's Ghost. Is how that's done. It's a way that they use glass and images to kind of make it look ghostly.
And the beautiful part about that is, so I didn't find that out until I was an adult and I was on the attraction with Steve and he explained to me what was going on. And the cool thing is when a technique works so cool.
Buzzkill Steve.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's, you know, a lot of times ride techniques are like magician's tricks. Once you know how they function, they cease to amaze. I now know how it's done. And I still love that. That's still my favorite scene in the entire ride. So even getting behind it and understanding like how it works and what tricks they use does not ruin the magic of that attraction. It is just amazing. And it's one of the few where I actually think Worlds is better than Disneyland's as far as the full complete thing. So
I get it. I get why you say that. I know we have some aspects to ours that are a bit different than Disneyland's, but they have Hatbox Ghost, which we don't, and they have Nightmare Before Christmas overlay for the holidays starting in September. They put the Nightmare Before Christmas throughout that attraction, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's why if all things being equal, I agree, ours is better. But they have those two things that really is kind of strong. Steve?
I'm saying doesn't suck. It is Imagineering, I think, at its best, especially at the time period that this attraction was built. I mean, technologically, Flight of Passage is superior. But, you know, for its time, the tricks that they used with the scenes that you guys are talking about and throughout this attraction are just, I feel like, were wonders for when they were built. I think it has one of the best theme park songs, with Grim Grinning Ghosts. I feel like there's nothing to dislike about this attraction. I can't even really, trying to be critical, I can't think of something that I dislike.
Well, if we want unfair criticism, let's go to Craig.
It's a great ride. It's a great attraction.
Thank you, Craig. Rhino?
I actually think that this could be, when you say what's the best attraction that Disney has ever made, I think this kind of covers every sector of what they do. It's a family attraction. It employs really creative effects, both at that time, like kind of probably cutting edge, but also like classic optical illusions. Plus, I feel like it's a definition of Disney. It's like kind of scary. You're like, you know, it's got that thrill without being scary. You know,
it's silly, but
yeah, and it tells a story. You know, and there's it's for me, it is like the definition of when you say like this is a Disney, this is Walt Disney's vision of like what these type of things should be. Like that to me is what I think of.
Well, you know, the first time I ever heard about this attraction, I must have been 8 or 9, and my sister and her husband and my brother and his wife had come down to Orlando on vacation and had spent a day at Disney. And I remember, because we were watching my nephew at the time, who was a toddler, and my sister and her husband came to pick him up, and she was telling me about Haunted Mansion and how there were, you know, there were ghosts dancing around in this ballroom, and describing the attraction to me, and I was absolutely fascinated from the time I was a kid. And so maybe that's why this attraction has that extra resonance for me. But I agree, it absolutely does not suck.
Oh, and if we could give a quick public service announcement. When you're in the stretching room, remember, it is almost always somebody's first time, and so, like, let them hear what's going on. Let them get Disney's version before you make your wisecracks and your jokes over the narration. Because I remember, like, my first time as a child and everything like that, and that was brilliant. And it's always somebody's first time. Let them hear what. A lot of times lately, I've heard people like interject and say their own jokes halfway through and like kind of ruin. It's about immersive theming, and you want everybody to get that immersive theming experience. So.
No, I've been on Haunted Mansion 100 times. I memorized it. I'm going to talk along to it if I want.
I am the guy that does that. I absolutely do talk along to it.
Well, talking along to it is far different than people who like scream at random times halfway through, or have like the little wisecrack jokes.
The
screamers I hate.
Yeah, especially because they are always screaming off key or off pacing. They're always like going for the surprise scream.
Now, if you want to impress your family with useless knowledge about Haunted Mansion, one of the differences between ours here in Orlando and the one out in California, one, the roof actually stretches. The other one is actually an elevator that goes down to a basement floor where the attraction starts. Ours, should I tell them? The roof actually stretches.
Yes.
You don't actually go downstairs. Mm-hmm. Kind of looks like you do, but you don't. In Disneyland, it is actually an elevator that goes down.
And one way to like spot the differences is in Disneyland's version, if you look at the pictures, you can tell at the bottom they're not tight against the wall. And there's the wood paneling stretches along with the pictures, whereas ours, if I remember correctly, our wood paneling doesn't stretch.
Right.
It's just the pictures.
Correct. So there, you can include that in your useless knowledge to impress your family on your trip to Disney World. Okay, let's move over to the Liberty Square Riverboat, I believe is what it's officially called.
Oh, is it not the Mark Twain?
Mark Twain's out in Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh, I have, like, my whole life been saying the wrong thing.
Oh, and, yeah, by the way, does not suck for Haunted Mansion, clearly. But Riverboat, all right, we're not going to go all around with this because everybody's saying the same thing, doesn't suck. Craig, why doesn't it suck?
I don't know about most people, especially those who did grow up along the Mississippi, but going. I mean, in Pittsburgh, we did have river boats that went up and down the river, but it wasn't something that I think I experienced until later in life. But I
when
know
you put on your big Southern Belle hat,
exactly,
and go down to the river boat.
But yeah, for being a kid, no one screams about, oh, I have to go on the boats that go around the rivers of America. But it's one of those things. It's so many people don't live in areas where they can do something like this, and the ships are really, really beautiful. So it's just, it's a cool experience that unless you live in the right places, you can't get it anywhere else. So I'm all for that.
I just want to quickly add in, you also, if you're on the second or third floor of the riverboat, can get some really cool views of Frontierland and Liberty Square that you obviously...
Some great photo opportunities going around.
Absolutely.
The riverboat. So everybody held up their doesn't suck sign, and I would agree, doesn't suck. But I'm going to throw a little curveball in here. When compared to Disneyland's Mark Twain, does the Liberty Rail riverboat suck or not suck when compared?
I feel like it's the same thing.
Well, where's a paddle?
It doesn't suck.
No, Steve, you.
I flinched, but
you flinched.
So I guess if I flinched, I'll say it sucks, and I'll just explain. I truly don't think it sucks, but I'll explain my hesitation in that just that
flip.
Which one? Okay, let's rephrase the question. Which one is better? Both go around the rivers of America.
Then
is clearly a right answer to this.
Mark Twain, then, because Walt was actually on it.
Well, they did used to have like the concerts, like the musicians and stuff like that on there too. It's got a little bit of a different history. Well, it has an actual tied in. I don't know.
Does anybody disagree with that?
I've not actually been on
the riverboat there.
The Mark Twain, yeah.
It's really, for me, it doesn't come down to the history of it or what you're moving around. It's a nice relaxing experience. So I don't think one is
definitely
better than the other.
I personally definitely prefer the Mark Twain.
I will say before they shortened Disneyland's River of America, I would say that because it was such a big, thorough experience. I like the new animatronic additions they made and everything, but
I haven't done it since they changed it. So.
Yeah, before it was definitely, definitely superior, but now that it's shortened, with the additions, it's okay. But it's to each their own.
All right, let's do Hall of Presidents. Come on. Rhino, you were undecided.
I know. This is my grandma's like this in Haunted Mansion so much, but I mean, I don't like it right now, but I don't know how many years ago it was when they started adding all the president, like, was it like 6 or 7 years ago when they redid it or something like that? And maybe longer, but it does, any ride that really uses animatronics in a very cool and realistic way, I can't ever say that sucks. So when like Obama gives his speech, I haven't been in it yet since they changed it, so I just always was like, this is so cool, like there's a president right there talking to me right now. And when who stands up, somebody's sitting down,
Lincoln.
And stands up,
Lincoln does, and well, Washington's not sitting down, but
that's like, okay, because I knew Washington spoke too, but I always just, I'm kind of like, wow, that's really cool. Like, it may, you know, as much as it could be kind of a boring attraction, also, I feel like Morgan Freeman narrating it kind of
doesn't
makes
anymore.
It really cool,
it
too.
It doesn't anymore.
Oh, well, then, see? So, then I will change my panel to where it currently is right now.
Okay, and I'm going to weigh in here because I actually saw it for the first time this past Friday. And I got to say, resoundingly, does not suck. You know, all the political nonsense aside, The rework to this was genius. The change to the film, the way they've woven the story, it's... You disagree?
I don't like the new film as much.
Oh, I disagree. I thought it was brilliantly, brilliantly done. I thought they crafted a beautiful story. I like the way they included Lincoln and the Gettysburg Address and various other aspects. I won't give it all away. But I'll tell you, the whole theme of it now is basically, you know, what makes a president? And I just thought everything about it. I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed it thoroughly. You know, all political discussions aside, I really enjoyed it thoroughly.
I don't think it sucks. And I went on it recently, and I had a difficult problem with this. And it's not with the recent political stuff either. It's that in anything historical, my brain goes back and forth between giving a factual balanced approach to what actually happened when we're educating our youth especially when it comes to American history, because that can shape our opinion of politics and everything like that. But there's also the part where it is Disney and it is meant to inspire. And so I was going in expecting that I wouldn't like it. Not once again, because of the current political climate kind of stuff. I expected that, and I'd already seen that section in video. But as far as the entire show and completion, I sat there and, you know, there, if you look, some of our most influential presidents do have things that we would not approve of in their past. But this isn't about that. What Disney generally is trying to do with this attraction is inspire. And the thing is, I actually did feel inspired. When it comes to watching the Lincoln animatronic, sitting there thinking about the impact of Abraham Lincoln and about the impact of some of the notable presidents that they mentioned, it gave me that little rush of juice. Not that, like, proud to be an American and, you know, the to hell with everybody else kind of thing, but just an honest, like, being at touch with the good aspects of our history, especially when things can seem so dour and depressing and everything. We have to remember that all times had great conflict and struggle, and yet as a country we've managed to supersede that and get through now leadership and through listening to the people. And the thing is, I left there feeling good, which, yeah, I did not expect.
That I had the same experience.
And I don't like that when factual history suffers for those bursts of feel good things, when we overwrite stuff that happened and we don't look at it. But once again, this ride is meant to inspire the youth or just people.
I would actually argue that it's more for adults as a way to reconnect, because, yeah, kids are constantly growing up with history and they are learning more in school. Mm-hmm. I hope, at least. I mean, at least from my education, I learned all of that in grade school and then through high school. But then you start to forget all these details as you grow up,
yeah,
and you fill it with pointless information that you don't ever need to know about Disney parks and other sorts of things. But so that's for kids going in. They probably know a lot of this stuff, but for adults, it's a way to reconnect them to,
well,
values.
I would argue the point that no attraction at Disney should necessarily be a classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have schools, mm-hmm, for that. This should be creative and inspirational, especially located in a section of the park called Liberty Square, which is about colonial America, basically. And this should be a celebration of the history of our republic. And I think that's why I say I think this does a beautiful job, especially as it talks about George Washington voluntarily stepping down after two terms when they wanted him to stay and they wanted to call him a king and all this other stuff. And he said, no, somebody, this is how it needs to go. And that set the precedent long before FDR, who got, you know, elected to what, four terms.
Yeah.
And then they put, you know, a law in place saying they were going to limit everybody to two terms. But
so I am firmly saying does not suck. It probably is one of my favorite shows in all of Walt Disney World. I love Hall of Presidents. The only thing that I think is worse about this show compared to the previous iteration when Obama was president is, again, nothing to do with the final part with the animatronics. It has to do with I really, really would always get goosebumps at the part where in the former show part of it when they said, like, presidents in times of trouble, presidents say what we all are thinking, and it goes through all, like, the hard things with JFK's assassination and the
September 11th
and the explosion of with Reagan,
Oklahoma City
bombings, and then the NASA's explosion,
Challenger.
The Challenger's explosion. So not having that is the only part that I do really miss, because at the end of that, I always would get goosebumps. So I just for my own nostalgia, I miss that.
I think they put plenty of goosebump moments in this. And, you know, look, I'll be honest. I was one of those people that did not want to go see this because of my feelings toward the current occupant in the White House. I'll say that flat out. I am so glad I did. I am so glad. I think they did a beautiful job. I think they did a beautiful job with it. I loved it, and I really can't wait to go do it again. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Let's move across the street to the Liberty Tree Tavern. Oh, that was pretty fast for everybody. Unanimous consent doesn't suck. Charles, why doesn't it suck?
The only downside I have with it is I have to avoid eating too much if I've got like a hefty park day planned. But I mean, you know, the food, it's American family food, you know,
like Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving. And, you know, myself among many people in this country occasionally complain, why are we only eating Thanksgiving foods on Thanksgiving? That's ridiculous. It's tasty all year long. And this gives me the option of like just randomly having Thanksgiving. And if you do have it with your family or friends or anything like that, I honestly think, I seriously believe that combination of foods with the right people recreates the kind of bonding that you actually have on a holiday dinner and stuff. I've only had good experiences there. Service has always been awesome. And the food there are a couple that don't live up to what I want. But for the most part, the food is satisfying, and I think cost per value, it's good.
Rhino?
Yeah, I like it, because I mean, who doesn't like the Thanksgiving foods items, but it also kind of has that New England, feel to it, obviously. And that, so it reminds me of home, so it feels like a little bit like a hug for me, and I like all the food, and I feel like it is a good value for your money, especially if you're trying to feed a bunch of people, you know, or you're really hungry or something like that. It's kind of one of those, like, if somebody says, oh, where would I go sit down to eat at Magic Kingdom, is probably where I'd say. So
yeah, I, you know, there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, that I would have been shocked to see everyone respond with a doesn't suck to Liberty Tree Tavern, because the food was kind of hit or miss, but the last three or four times I've been there, at least, it's been great. I mean, look, it's not, you know, a gourmet experience by any stretch of the imagination, but the turkey's real. It's not processed turkey. It's actually real turkey. I think that I love cranberry sauce, and I think theirs is the best. I that's what I make now. I have that recipe. I make that cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving. I think, you know, the gravy is good, but if that gravy sits on the table for more than 30 seconds, it doesn't look very appealing. It becomes very gelatinous, to use a more genteel term.
You just drape the skin.
Steve, you're like chomping at the bit here.
Yeah, I'm saying doesn't suck. I think everyone else has said what I'm thinking, that, you know, that has a great meal. It's fun to sit around with family and friends and eat there. It's the only place I've ever had Thanksgiving other than the table that at my house. One time I did that, and it was, you know, a good alternative. Not the best, because being with actual family is better. But the only thing I want to be critical about this place is that the bathroom, there's like one stall. And
it's a small bathroom, and it's not handicap accessible. And Disney's reason for that, I just got to put this out there, is that the facility was built before the Americans with Disabilities Act went into effect. And as a result, they are not legally required to make it handicapped accessible. And that is the only knock I'll give this place, that whether it's legally required or not, the fact that if you're in a wheelchair and you're not able to walk up a flight of stairs, then you can't go to the bathroom. You have to leave the restaurant and go around the corner to use a bathroom.
Not to mention, there's no bathrooms in Liberty Square that are not in restaurants. So if you have to go to the bathroom and you have a disability and you can't get out of your wheelchair, then you have to go all the way to basically to Adventureland. Mm-hmm.
If you want to use the public restroom. Well, I mean, you can use the restrooms in other restaurants. You can go into Columbia Harbor House.
I suppose,
Golden Horseshoe.
But that's almost just
I believe Golden Horseshoe also has a restroom.
Oh, they do?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But the size,
if I'm not mistaken, that's where they have to go.
The size of Liberty Trees is still, it's a closet, though, and without a doubt, like 100% of the times I went to the restroom there, and I use the restroom a lot, I drink a lot of coffee, but like there is always an unattended child in there. Every single time I've been there has been like a confused kid and a groaning dad in a stall.
Well, and there's your visual for this show. Courtesy of Charles, now 2 weeks in a row.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's go. Oh, if you want to weigh in, go ahead.
Well, we're down to basically Columbia Harbor House. And if you threw in shows, then we have Great Moments in History starring the Muppets, and they're both amazing.
Okay, well, can I say what's on my list?
Yes.
And now, just to screw you up, Memento Mori. Damn right it doesn't suck.
I think it took too long for them to get a gift shop for the Haunted Mansion. It used to just be
that's
that
what this
cart.
Is. For those who don't know, Memento Mori is a gift shop totally devoted to the Haunted Mansion. All the items in there are Haunted Mansion related items. It is, in my personal opinion, the best store in the Magic Kingdom. Hands down. And you know what? It did well, so they have just constantly coming out with new merchandise to put in there. I threw it in there just because I wanted to see who I was going to have to fire if they said it sucked.
It also has, hands down, the greatest play on words name of probably any store in existence, but especially merchandise.
Oh, here comes this story. Go ahead. I got this before I went to Rome.
Because he was going to Rome. The phrase originates, Memento Mori thing, was when a returning Roman general or emperor would come through after victory, they would parade through the streets of Rome. And they would have a slave behind them in their chariot who would whisper in their ear, remember you're immortal, or remember one day you will die. And that was like to keep them humble. And that was a memento mori, remembering your mortality. And so like, I love that phrase and I love how it's used. And like a place that sells mementos but called Memento Mori, that is completely awesome, right? Anybody?
And Charles instructed me that I had to have Rhino follow me around Rome whispering that in my ear.
Did you do it?
Of course he didn't.
I forgot.
I told him. But, so, yeah, Memento Mori, we're not going to go around on that. We all love it. But right next door to Memento Mori is arguably one of the most popular counter service restaurants at Walt Disney World. That's Columbia Harbor House. Anybody have a problem with Columbia Harbor House?
When did you skip ahead?
Why did I skip ahead?
Yeah.
Oh, I could have held this paddle up from the beginning. Liberty Square in general, I feel like it's probably the best all-around land. When you think about the dining that's there, the shopping that's there, the attractions, it's solid
you
all
know
the
what?
Way around.
And until this segment, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
but
took it
this
for granted a little.
You're absolutely right. This is, I think, the only time we've done one of these sucks doesn't suck shows where no one held up a red paddle.
I held up a red paddle
only when I threw in comparing it to Disneyland.
No, I held up the red paddle for Hall of Presidents. but
you haven't seen the new one, so
that's
how
true.
Can you?
But
you know,
I will
you're
say
just, you're just being closed minded.
I
you haven't
think
actually
I
seen it.
Put up a red paddle for Adventureland though. Frontierland. So I would say that whole section.
No, we had Dissension.
Oh, Tom Sawyer Island.
And Tom Sawyer Island.
Never mind.
So no, I think this is the first time that you started out with a green paddle on Hall of Presidents. And
I
then,
did, yeah.
You know.
The Morgan Freeman thing tipped me over.
Well, go see it before you hold up the red paddle. That should be a requirement. Especially considering that not this week, or next week, but the week after that, Rhino is going to be taking over as the host of this show. I didn't mention that at the beginning, but some changes are coming to our slate of shows, and I'm going to be hosting another show. Which at the point this goes up, that's going to be out already. I'm going to be hosting the Disneyland show along with our folks out in California, and Rhino will be joining me here at the table. We're kind of making it a bi-coastal thing, not to be confused with a bisexual thing. Sorry. So Rhino's going to be taking over. Steve gets so uncomfortable.
I was debating about making a joke, but then I was like, no, I felt bad.
Yeah, so I'm going to be hosting that show, and Rhino's going to take over this show. So there's that. But Columbia Harbor House, Craig, please extol its virtues to all of us.
I know that a lot of people are very picky about seafood in general or the type that they're eating, but I think that even if you don't like seafood, you know, you always have chicken tenders as an option when you go in. So there are ways around it, but the tuna sandwich that's there is really good. The salmon that they serve there is good.
Is that tuna sandwich? Is that like tuna, like the regular tuna fish sandwich?
Exactly, yes.
Not like
You would eat it.
Okay.
Yes, you would eat it. And so the food there is delicious. It's massive, so there's lots of floor space. Talked about it in one of the, I don't think it was a dining show, but the fact that you could just spend an hour in there looking at all the artifacts that are around, it's really the only knock on it is just that it's constantly flooded with people and the line's always long, but it's long for a reason. It's good stuff.
Steven?
This is probably one of my top three quick service locations. I love it in there. I love to just go up to the second floor and hang out, even if I'm not eating. And there's a little section in there that looks over Fantasyland and Liberty Square that I love. I love the food there. I don't know. There's just too much to love about it. I think it's underrated, even though it's becoming increasingly popular. I still think it's underrated.
I think it gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it gets overlooked a lot.
I think that's becoming less and less true because it is getting a lot of praise from the Disney community. But I think a lot of first-time visitors see quick service seafood and they immediately push back.
I can understand that though.
Yeah, but I think that once you give it a try, I think it's amazing, and I think the more people hear about it, the more people will go, and then it's going to become more popular, which, you know, it stinks because it's going to make for less seating, but I think that it's worth everyone being able to enjoy.
Rhino?
I agree with I think it was kind of an overlooked place until more recently. I actually don't even think I knew there was a place in there until a couple of years ago, after being a cast member here for how long. And I just remember thinking like, oh, I thought this place was like the Golden Horseshoe, one of those things that I remembered but doesn't exist anymore but does actually exist still. So I don't know what goes on in my head. Nobody does. But I enjoy it. I like the food. I like that it's different. It's a different type. It adds variety into the standard hamburgers, hot dogs, whatever, chicken nuggets. So I appreciate it for that.
Charlie?
It said it doesn't suck, obviously. When Rhino said, I don't know what goes on in my head, I just envision Power Rangers playing dodgeball. Like, that's what I think you're always thinking of.
Well, they are always there.
One of the things that I like about this is I like places where you can feel natural and comfortable in the parks, like that getting that glimpse of you're not in the park. And one of the reasons it's my favorite place to work, Steve and I, a lot of times when we're in the Magic Kingdom, we will go up and like just like write up a quick article or upload photos or something like that. And even though the line is getting longer and it's busier, you can almost always, with one exception recently that I had, you can almost always find a quick space because it's so big and expansive. Also, the tables aren't really close to each other. Sometimes you'll get these big expansive places, but they're still hard to maneuver. But it's like the entire place is made up of like open areas and then small private corners, like perfectly combined to where you just feel like when you're overlooking, you're looking out the window and you're looking down from the second floor in the Magic Kingdom and you're talking to a friend, you kind of just feel like, oh, we're hanging out at a restaurant and we live in this theme park. This is just like there's something outside of us. And I like when you find those little places that feel natural and comfortable.
All right. So there you have it.
Muppets.
What's that?
Muppets.
Okay. All right. I know. You want to talk about Muppets. So.
Well, no, it's the only one, and he loves the Muppets, so.
Well, he looks like one, so I'm pretty sure he's related to them.
Fozzie Bear, for sure.
Oh, no, Swedish Chef. Swedish Chef and Miss Piggy had a love child. So, all right, let's talk about the Muppets. Suck doesn't suck.
What?
It's not. It's.
Craig is distraught.
Yeah, I know. I'm. There will be consequences to this.
Remember, he edits you.
Yeah, I know. That's, no, the reason I put suck is not because I don't like the Muppets. It is because of the timing and crowd wise. Every single time I've been there, it's out in the open and it's usually hot. It's Florida. And there's a lot of times, but for my hearing, if I want to hear properly, I want to get a little closer and to make everything out and the jokes and everything, the audio probably isn't that bad. But for me, I can't really make it out unless I get closer. And that involves crowds of people out in the hot sun. And it's uncomfortable. I love the Muppets. And it's not that I don't like the subject matter or anything. But yeah, it's an uncomfortable experience a lot of times for me. So.
Okay. So Charles ruins Liberty Square. We almost had a perfect run. If I'd gotten out when I wanted to, Craig, you see, we would have had just a perfect run of Liberty Square. But no, you had to insist on the Muppets.
I technically did not.
That's
insist
true.
On
That's all Rhino's fault.
He brought it up earlier in the show. We could just giant head. Loose thread hanging out there.
A giant head of Rhino Clavin ruins everything. All right, Craig, counter Charles, please. I haven't seen it, so I can't.
I don't have a counter to Charles on the grounds that it's Florida. So it really does stink when you have to stand outside and watch something with the sun beating down on you. And it does get pretty tight in there, but it gets very packed because people do genuinely love this show. Mm. It's great that they integrated the Muppets in. I know it's not historically accurate to the period. So
yeah, there was no Kermit the Frog.
I hear it way too often from Michael Bowling already about it. And I get that not the right time frame, all that, whatever. It's entertaining. Mm. They make history fun, and it's just different. It's different from a lot of other entertainment atmosphere that you can get around other places. So I'm one of those people. I wish they could have found an area to put it where it was shaded, because it is brutal. I remember the day that it opened and I was standing and it had to be 95 degrees out with no clouds at all. And it was just miserable. But besides that, I love everything about it. So you're not wrong. But I don't think you should base it as saying it sucks just because of the no shade and lots of people.
Steven?
Doesn't suck. I love the Muppets. I love that because they just needed a presence somewhere else besides Hollywood Studios. So I like that they're also in the Magic Kingdom now. I don't know. That's all I have to say. I just enjoy the show. I mean, I get what Charles is saying, that it's out in the sun, but I don't know. If you don't want to stand out in the sun, you don't have to. So just move along.
It's not the only thing in Disney World that for some reason the executives who decided that where they should put things and what they should do made a decision in an office in a place I'm sure they've never even been to in the middle of the summer. But it's like Lights, Monsters, Action did not have a covering for their queue for the first 3 or 4 years that attraction was open. So you just stood on pavement for 45 minutes. Like, that's uncomfortable. But I think it's great because I think what better show to you talk about making history fun and you laugh and, you know, and we love the Muppets and come on, you're learning about American history from Sam Eagle. Like, that just seems like a no-brainer. Like, whoever suggested that in some meeting somewhere, I'm like, yeah, you're a good person. I don't know. I think the show's funny, it's cute, and it's quick. And so even though it does get congested, it's over before you know it. So,
all right, I'm going to ask one final question. Using your paddles, doesn't suck for yes, sucks for no. Is Liberty Square the best land in the Magic Kingdom? Waiting on you, Craig. Okay. You all say no. Yet, Craig, you just said 10 minutes ago that it was.
I said it was one of mine, and I said that everything together makes it, there's not a single bad thing in there, but I don't, it also doesn't have the immersion. That's about the only thing that I would go. The fact that you can see straight into Fantasyland on one side, or you can see to the hub, or you can see straight into Frontierland. The Frontierland makes sense because it goes with the time period. But other than that, that's my only knock on it. Whereas a place like Adventureland, once you get in Adventureland, you're completely stuck in there. And that's also part of it as an overall. So even though other lands have things I don't like as much, the one thing I do like is when you're in a land and it completely envelops you and you can't see out of it, that makes the Disney difference. It takes you to a different place with it. So,
all right, Steve.
I don't know. My answer is kind of obscure because my favorite land is probably Main Street, not for anything but that when I hadn't been to Disney World in, you know, a year, or I hadn't been in 6 months and it had been a long time, that feeling of walking down Main Street and feeling like I'm home is something I don't get in any other land. And for that reason alone, I love Main Street because it's like I'm back and there's nothing better than that for me.
Rhino?
I feel like even though there wasn't anything that really ended up in the suck category, it wasn't like everything was just above that line. Like, not just above terrible, but just it was on the positive side. But there's not necessarily anything that I'm like, wow, you know, with the exception of Haunted Mansion. But there are other lands where there are multiple wows, even though they have a couple things that suck. So for me, it's just kind of a median score. Like, everything got by in the positive, but there are other places where you're like, there's amazing. And then there's like, oh, that's not great. But so that sort of stuff for me. That's
Charles?
excuse me. It's a rough question, you know. But is it the best? No. It all in all, I think I've gotten more appreciation for it just from doing the show because I've never sat down and thought, what does Liberty Square mean to me? But, like, as far as the best is concerned, there are a bunch of things. And one is like the feelings that it stirs in me. And the other is the immersion, kind of like Craig was mentioning, is that I don't get the same childlike joy that I get in other lands when I walk in. Now, maybe that's nostalgia, or maybe it's because that's not the time period I most want to escape into or pretend I'm in. Haunted Mansion itself is awesome and everything. But I don't really want to walk around pretending I'm in 1776 all the time or anything like that. I do want to pretend I'm a pirate on an adventure, or like in a storybook fantasy or something, or in the future going on like some like space adventure. So for me, part of it's personal, and part of it is that, like, the line of sight immersion aspect of it, where when for that escapism, I want to feel like I'm in a place and I don't feel enveloped by a storybook or an adventure when I'm in Liberty Square. The individual components are nice, but it's one of those things where it kind of is the sum of its parts. It doesn't stir anything in me just being in the land itself, you know?
All right, well, just considering how overwhelmingly positive everybody responded, I thought I would throw that in there.
So. I'll give one more thing about this. It's not as fantastical as all the other lands. It's more factual-based and history-based, whereas, like, I the frontier, I feel like, had this whole, like, anything can happen in the frontier. An adventure, you're on an adventure. And then, so it's the one land where I feel like, other than the Haunted Mansion, which I always feel like...
It's more muted.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to do it for this episode of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World. Hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you again next week. Have a great week, everybody.